Hello and welcome back to another episode of the MSU Sports Zone podcast. This afternoon I'll bring you week three matchup between Michigan State heading to Iowa to Kinnick Stadium to take on the Iowa Hawkeyes. So let's get right into it. So first, before we talk about my prediction, Michigan State's keys to win, I'm going to break down some stats between the two teams. I'm sure you guys aren't, you know, aware of every stat, so I just want to run you down what Iowa does well, what Michigan State's been doing well, what we're going to need to do to stop, all that good stuff. So let's get right into it. So first off, I want to begin with Iowa. So their quarterback situation, they are 0-2 this year for those that haven't, you know, followed them as much as others. But they've lost those two games by a combined 5 points, losing at Purdue by 4, and then losing last week at home to Northwestern by only a point. I can tell you right now, I know why that's the case. Their quarterback, Spencer Patross, this year, guys, he's 48 for 89 with 481 passing yards, one touchdown, three interceptions, and a QBR of 55.9 through his first two games. I'll just be frank with you. Those numbers are absolutely awful. They're horrendous in every other way. If he was playing some real competition, I think Iowa would have lost both those games by probably a combined 30, 40 points, because these are awful numbers. I mean, looking at him right now, you know, one touchdown to three picks. The QBR is what's quarterback rating, for those that don't know what that is. I think the best you can get is around 120. I might be a little higher if I'm not mistaken. So getting to 55.9 through his first two games is pretty bad. That's, you know, that's like Sam Darnold Jets territory for those that watch the NFL. That's how bad that is. So for the Michigan State defense, playing as they did last week against Michigan, I like our chances if the defense plays like they did last week, guys. Iowa's offense is not nearly as explosive as the Michigan offense. They don't have dynamic, you know, basically can bring in any running back how Michigan could. The only thing I'm not 100% with Iowa, I didn't really watch film, is I don't know if they have deep ball wide receivers how Michigan really didn't. You know, you guys watch the Michigan game, a lot of their completions to wide receivers were through slants, you know, comebacks, that kind of stuff. You didn't really see Milton try and air out how Rocky was airing out 60-yard bombs. So I'm not really sure if they haven't had much success with that, with these kind of stats. But I'm not really sure, you know, exactly when it comes to deep ball wide receivers with Iowa. So that's that. If the defense plays well, you know, basically doesn't beat themselves with stupid stuff, how they did week one, the offense kind of did that. You guys remember the 7 turnovers, allowing the defense no fields, really. Just 30-yard fields for Rutgers offense scoring. If the defense plays like they did last week against Michigan, I know it's not as tall of a task. You know, it's hard to get motivated after that huge win. I get all that. But you still got to come back and play. And if for whatever reason they're able to do that, I really like the chances against this Iowa offense. Next up is the run attack for Iowa. So Iowa's leading rusher is Tyler Goodson. He has 29 rush attempts this season for 120 yards, one touchdown, and he's averaging about 4.1 yards per carry. So those aren't bad stats. 29 rush attempts for 120 yards. I didn't write down their other running back, but their second leading rusher, he was in the 90s as well for running backs. So that's definitely, you know, looking through the numbers already, guys, that would be my worry for Michigan State coaching staff, is they definitely have an upper hand in the run game so far this year. You guys are going to ask, damn, you know, why is it Michigan State ran the ball effectively? I'll get into those numbers in a minute, but it's really simple, guys. Michigan State's offensive line they played tremendous last week in pass protection, allowing Rocky time to, you know, for the wide receivers, basically allowing time for him to sit in the pocket, not, you know, flush, worried about getting sacked, and allowing access to him to get the ball downfield to his wide receivers. But the problem with Michigan State through two games thus far, and any casual fan that's watched pretty closely can realize, is the O-line has been off. I mean, just, I don't even know what word to use. It's been awful. It's been horrendous. It's been dog shit, whatever word you want to use for run block. You know, they haven't protected at all for the running backs. If you go watch the film, I mean, there's very, I mean, there, you could probably count on one hand how many great runs this the running backs have had this year for Michigan State. It hasn't been many. The O-line hasn't opened up many opportunities for the running backs to break any tackles, you know, have success running the ball. So that's one area. If I'm Michigan State, if I'm Chris Kapilovich, offensive line coach, if I'm William Pegler, the running back coach, they're probably working together all week to say, you know, we got to play better, run blocking, open up holes. We got to get the run game going. You know, Jay Johnson's been, he called a pretty good game last week. I'll give him credit. But for the most part, we've been playing a lot of conservative football, you know, whether it's going into halftime last week, just basically saying F it. With a minute 20 on the clock, we're going to run it three straight plays, let Michigan burn all timeouts and punt it because we don't want Rocky to make a mistake or, you know, turn the ball over, whatever that was. I still don't get that. But they're going to have to run the ball. Sooner or later, guys, throwing the ball 80 yards every – not 80, but you guys know what I mean. Airing it out for when they need a play, that's not going to work every game. When you play the better teams, you know, the Ohio States, the Penn States, all those teams, they're going to have better pass rush than Michigan did last week. Michigan's pass rush didn't even get a sack on us. It was non-existent. So when you play Ohio State, they have better corners. Penn State's got a pretty good pass rush. You're going to be able to need to run the ball. So they got to get that figured out sooner or later. I'm not sure if this is the best game for that, but because I was, you know, they're known for having a pretty good defense since Kirk, you know, since for years that I can remember, I was always at a consistent, pretty good defense. So that's something they're going to have to get figured out. So like I said, again, for Iowa, Tyler Goodson, 29 rush attempts for 120 yards, one touchdown on the year, averaging 4.1 yards a carry. But like I said, for Iowa, and I'm going to get into Michigan State stats and talk about keys to victory in a minute, but that's looking at Iowa's stats already. I would be, you know, like I said, if I'm Harlan Barnett, Scott Hazleton on defense, I like our chances. I would say to the defense, not to say, but, you know, show them in film, you know, we got to get to the quarterback early, get some pressure on them like we did last week, and just don't want to beat you deep. You know, if you want to let them get the 4-yard completions, whatever, keep them in front of you. Just don't let them beat you deep. And I like our chances for the defense against Iowa's offense this week. I really do. So let's get into Michigan State's passing attack. So Rocky Lombardi, as I posted a photo the other day on Instagram, you guys probably saw it. He has 642 passing yards, 6 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and he has a quarterback rating of 78.9 so far through 2 games. So those stats are not bad at all. You know, Rocky has surpassed basically everyone's expectations this year, and I don't mean that as an insult to Rocky. I just don't think a lot of people had confidence coming in because, you know, they saw how the last coaches basically, to put it into simple terms, the last coaching staff ruined a lot of good players for us. And you're seeing a lot of these players that you probably didn't see play a lot last year have successful seasons thus far. You know, the two most notably ones on defense, Kalon Gervin at corner, Chris Jackson at corner. You didn't see either of those guys play very much at all last year. And when they did, it was a snap here or there and them screwing up or something, not knowing. It just felt like they were always in the wrong, you know, and that's not on them. I think the coaching staff never prepared them right. You look on offense, Rocky Lombardi is playing tremendous. Even Connor Hayward, let's give a shout out to Connor. I've been very critical on him, you know, leaving the football program, how he did, basically coming back, saying all, you know, just giving it, not really excuses, but I don't know. I just thought it was a bad look for, you know, for Collins, at least. I felt bad for him. But Connor's played very good, guys. He has not been, and let me just get this out there. He shouldn't be really running the ball. I think Connor's a very good pass protector, and then you put him out on the flat. Obviously, you guys saw him run that 18-yard touchdown, and the blockers get in front of him. He's very good at that. You know, you throw a little screen to him, you have good blockers. I like Connor in that situation. I don't like Connor when you throw, you know, basically snap the ball under center and say, here, go run us, you know, hand off, go run us 10 yards to get a first down. You know, he's not as speedy as Jordan Simmons or Elijah Collins for that kind of stuff. But when it comes to pass protecting and, you know, needing a screen maybe to get some extra yards, I really like Connor in those situations. So, like I said, Rocky Lombardi, last week he played phenomenal. He had 3 touchdowns, about 320 passing yards. But the very key factor, he had 0 interceptions. And Michigan State went from 7 turnovers to 0, a lot in part because the offense played very well. And now I think if it wasn't for week one, Rocky's stats would probably be one of the, it would probably be, I'm going to say something that's going to shock a lot of people. If it wasn't for week one's just lackluster, I mean, we can all put it like that. We lost the game, but it was just a lackluster performance from the turnovers and everything. If it wasn't for that, I think Rocky Lombardi would have, he would be considered the second best quarterback stat-wise in the Big Ten behind Justin Fields. And I know that sounds crazy, but you go back and look. I mean, who else has beaten him in that category? Penn State, Sean Clifford, they're 0-2. You know, there's not another team where I can say, oh, they've played tremendously better than us at QB position. They really haven't. But because of those seven turnovers in week one, you're going to get people laughing at that, questioning that. But for the most part, I've liked Rocky's performance thus far, not all year. I mean, it's only two games. He's played pretty well. Very, very, very much better than we all thought. Let's be honest. Don't sugarcoat it. I owned up to my mistake. I thought it would be a lot worse than it is. And Rocky has basically made us eat all our warts. So I want to give a lot of credit to Rocky for that. Next up, what I already mentioned, what Michigan State's going to have to, they're going to have to figure it out sooner or later, guys. I don't know what to tell you. But Michigan State's run attack and run game. So leading all rushers this year is Jordan Simmons, true freshman. He has 28 rushing attempts for 98 yards, zero touchdowns, and an average of 3.5 yards per carry. Those aren't bad numbers. And I know people are going to be like, oh, you're harping on it. Those aren't bad numbers. But then you also got to take it. What I did is took it into consideration. That's basically rushing for your leading rusher having 49 yards a game. And while in the NFL, maybe that's not awful. If you're a college football team and you're trying to, you know, have a successful year and win a lot of games, rushing for 49 yards a game is not going to, it's not going to win you many games unless you're like Alabama or how we were last week, just having, I mean, over the roof tremendous success passing the ball downfield. That's the only way you're going to win games is if the pass attack is exactly how it was last week. But it's not going to be like that every week. So when your pass attack is struggling, not really how it did week one, but kind of like last year when we struggled, we couldn't score points, you're going to need to be able to have success running the football, guys. I don't care what anyone tells you. That's just the reality of it. So I know we're all pumped about last week, and I am too. But going forward, that's one of my, I don't know what the word to use would be, but something that the staff probably knows they need to get fixed, need to work on, especially week by week, and be able to open up holes, you know, be able to, I don't know what's wrong with the O-line when it comes to run blocking. You know, I feel like they have the guys out there. Nick Samak played very good last week in place of Matt Allen. Kevin Jarvis has played pretty well. You know, A.J. Arcieri's played pretty well. I mean, I like the O-line for, you know, they've been awesome for pass protecting. But it comes to run blocking, it just feels like everything doesn't fall into place for this team. I don't know what the reason is. I do have faith they can get this figured out and be able to run the football, because if they can't, you know, you're asking the offense, and I know we have awesome weapons, but that's asking a lot out of Rocky Lombardi to say, carry us every week. You know, if we can't run the ball, you're going to have to be able to throw it at least 300 yards a game. And while while Rocky and the offense would probably be more than happy to be up for that task, eventually they know, you know, we're going to have to run the football. So that's one criticism I have for Michigan State through two games, but I think it will get fixed. And let's get into three keys to victory for Michigan State. And then, obviously, like I said, I'll give you my score prediction. So three keys, simple, easy, but effective for Michigan State to come out of Kinnick Stadium at Iowa on the road with a victory. Number one, establish a consistent run game and do be able to run block. It's, you know, it's repetitive stuff, guys, but it's just, like I said, it's the simple stuff that wins football games. You got to establish a consistent run. If you're able to establish a consistent run, you have a defense on its, you know, on its tippy toes. They don't know what's coming. You know, if they're going to assume the run's coming, then you can open up the playbook. You can go to the downfield pass attack. Everything's working. You know, everything's, as they say, everything's rolling. It opens up the playbook a lot and helps Michigan State's chances of coming on the road and getting a much-needed victory. Let's call it what it is. Number two, not allow Iowa to have success throwing the ball downfield. You know, I read a few articles, and they mentioned if Iowa wants to win, they're going to need to be able to throw the ball downfield and get to Michigan State's starting corners, you know, whether it's Shakir Brown, Kalon Gervin, or Chris Jackson. You know, they did a fabulous job last week against Michigan. Really could have had a few interceptions. That one went great. If Shakir Brown was a tad inch taller, he would have had that for a pick six. Antoine Simmons almost had an interception in the end zone. So the defense played very good stopping the pass. I know they gave up 24, but for the most part, it was a good 24, meaning they didn't give it up, you know, just say shit. They gave up a 100-yard touchdown. It was none of that. They kept them in front of them for the most part and gave the offense and the team mostly of an absolute great chance of winning. So, like I said, I like the matchup between our quarterbacks. I like Rocky Lombardi over Spencer Petras for Iowa. He's played much better. Stats show it. Everything shows it. So if we can basically, due to Iowa's offense, what's happened the last 2 weeks and kind of shut them down, I think it ups the chances of Michigan State winning tremendously. And number three, this is the most important one, guys. Don't beat yourselves if you're Michigan State. You know, they went from one of the most most turnaround performances in a week, going from 7 turnovers against Rutgers to 0 against a much better Michigan team last week. You know, Kirk Herbstreit, lots of people gave Michigan State the number one team of the week, just an absolute turnaround performance. So don't beat yourself, guys. Like I said, the 7 turnovers, that kind of stuff. And, you know, also don't let Iowa's defense, don't help them out, guys. You know, don't handicap them penalties, you know, bullshit penalties like last week. You saw Michigan State score from the 2, then get pushed back 15 yards for a clipping penalty. Granted, they did score in the next play with Hayward running for 18 yards, but those kind of penalties, that screw you guys. You saw Michigan last week, Michigan, not Michigan State. I mean, just basically every other play they were holding us. So don't give the Iowa defense any more help than they already. Don't give them more help than they need. Put it that way, guys. Iowa's defense is the strength of the team. Any reporter, any analyst, anyone watching knows that. They're a lot better defensively than they are offensively as a team. So don't be handicapping them penalties and helping them more than they need to be. And with all that said, my score prediction for this week, I have Michigan State winning 20-17. I think it's going to be a very close ball game. I have Rocky Lombardi throwing for around 250 yards, 2 touchdowns. And I have, this is my prediction, guys. Last week, Ricky White led the team in receiving. I feel like this week, Jaden Reed will lead the team in receiving as he did week 1. But most importantly, he will not have 2 fumbles this week. He will have 0 fumbles. And I'm predicting Jaden has 1 touchdown. I think Naylor's going to be involved like he was last week. And I also think Ricky White's going to be involved. Sooner or later, Trey Mosley will be back with the offense. It's going to be explosive as hell. So that's my prediction. Michigan State 20-17 over Iowa in week 3. Thank you all for listening and go green.